Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm your host, Delcherie Gladden. I'm an author of over 30 published novels and an English teacher. On this week's episode, I have Phil Schatzman here with me, and he's going to be talking about his novel, River Guide, and I assume some of your other projects as well, because you've got a couple things going on. Phil, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. My name is Phil Schatzman. I was born in Anaheim Memorial Hospital, a building that no longer exists like so many others. I was born back in 1960, and back then, Asimov was huge, Zalanzi, I read all the science fiction I could get my hands on. Used to upset my mother badly because she wanted me to come help in the garden pulling weeds out of the cactus patches. I'm not real fond of cactus, and I'm not real fond of weeds, but I loved reading, and I spent way too much time doing it. I also played the violin up through high school, and that's one of the many things when I graduated high school I put down and never touched again. Unfortunately, I also stopped reading. I got married, made a family, did all kinds of things that life involves, and I always wanted to write. I enjoyed reading so much, and I had so many ideas. So when I retired and moved out here last year, I had already started writing for about the year before that, and had a few ideas of things I wanted to pursue, but because of family genetics, and Native Americans as well as Europeans, French, etc., are all a part of my background history. So my first book, River Guide, was kind of, for me, a way of pulling all those worlds together. There's a European background to some of the characters coming here into the Western United States in the mid-1800s. All that exploration, breaking new ground, opening areas that hadn't been explored yet. Just trying to incorporate Native people as well as the militia that was here, all the different elements, and bring it together as a story that somehow also involved the spirit world. While I'm a born-again Christian myself, I recognize that there are many faiths that are all true and real. Even the Bible speaks to that. And so for me, it was a fun exploration in bringing the spirit world and the real world together in a way that is positive. I've never believed that evil rules and that good just has a day or two here and there. I feel it's the opposite, that evil is constantly struggling to have its way, but good wins out in the end. And in this particular book, that's part of the primary theme behind it, that no matter how hard we try to deviate from a good path, that good people can bring things back around. So from there, it was creating characters, creating personas for them. I found it very interesting to try and create personalities. I'm the only person on the planet that thinks the way I think. So creating a whole set of new people was very, very new to me. And yet that challenge was something I tried to incorporate and make a part of how I think about writing. I appreciated so many things. Like I said, Asimov to Zalanzi was my range. There was nothing I wouldn't read, particularly science fiction, no matter how dry other people thought it might be. I loved it. I lived in it. So this carried a lot into the fantasy fiction, the spiritual world, but it's also the real world where it affects in positive ways. That's why the first two-thirds of the book is a primary story to introduce the characters and how they become who they become. And then that last third is short little stories moving forward in time from that point, showing how in their new personas, they can redirect not only mankind, but evil in the world and turn bad things into a positive. They don't always fix what's gone wrong, but they can fix the direction that negative is going so that it's now turned positive, which I think is true for all of us. If I've had my arm chopped off, it's gone, but I can move past it and learn to live without it. And I think that's a huge part of the story of this world. We have to learn to live with what we have, even through the worst of things. And that's part of what this story was trying to encapsulate for me.
I think you did a good job with that. You really do bring a lot of different elements into this, and we'll try to go through as many of them as we can in 30 minutes. But I wanted to start with your characters, because that was one thing that I noticed. They all have very unique personalities. And sometimes, especially when you're first starting out in writing, that's hard to do. A lot of the characters kind of blend together and seem very similar. So creating those really unique individual personalities can be tricky. So what was your approach to doing that? How did you make them so different from each other?
I really had to treat each person as if they were their own story. And then it's like a musical piece. Each instrument plays its own part. And when you put them together, they form a symphony. They come together to form the melodies and harmonies. And not everybody has a major part. And yet they all come together to make the music complete. So that was how I had to treat it, was looking at it. Not everybody had to be important. And not everything that everybody did had to be important. And yet the story has to keep your attention and keep you looking for that next page. How is this going to resolve, and what are they going to do now that they're here? So the idea of the characters was to be unique to their world where they start from. Of course, the primary character is somebody who's immigrating from Europe here into the United States. So there is no solidity. There is no foundation. But the foundation he finds is in his family that he's traveling with, and the foundation they brought with them from the cultures that they've been a part of. Between going to a Native American type culture for one character, an already established settler for another character, and then an immigrant, those three primaries were based on their own story or their own song, and just bringing them together and trying to make a melody with it.
I like that approach. I like the explanation of that. That's a great way to look at it. Because I think that is something that at the beginning, as I was reading, you encounter the different characters kind of in their story. And at first, as the reader, you don't really know how they're going to all come together. So you do kind of follow them individually for a bit, and you're starting to get to know them and what's brought them to the point that you meet them in the story as the reader. And their personalities very much seem to be connected to their life experiences. Cherish is one of the characters, and she's kind of had an unusual upbringing that has influenced who she is. And you get to know her right off the bat, and you're kind of like, this is an interesting person. Like, what's going to happen with her? Because at first you don't really know where she falls on that spectrum of, in a broad sense, good and evil. Because she kind of has a few personality traits that you don't love right off the bat. And she could have gone either way. And I don't want to give away, you know, her story. But she's an interesting one because as the reader, you're not quite sure what to think of her at the very beginning of the story. So she was a fun character to watch and see how she changed.
Yeah, that was extremely intentional. That sets that, it's like a petri dish. We don't know what's going to grow. You put in the seed and you have no idea which direction it's going. She had a coarse start in life, as a lot of people do. And we develop walls, calluses, whatever, ways of living with how rough life can be versus what we wish it would be. And she faces all those things. And then, again, not to give too much away, but she gets a lot taken away and has to make decisions about who she is. And that is a point of maturity a lot of adults have yet to actually do. And yet we see young people, very young people, that already know in life who and what they want to be. So this was kind of intended to be that. Coming from you know, the diversity that we all come from, you get to that point where you have to say, who am I?
And that's, like you said, a question that a lot of people are struggling to figure out their entire lives. I see a wide range of that with my students, where some of them know where they want to go, and they kind of have things as figured out as you can as a 14-year-old. I teach freshmen. And then you have these other kids who just are really still pretty lost and still trying to figure out just their first steps in life and what direction that they want to go. And that is really hard, especially when you start with not the most ideal upbringing, where you've experienced things that you wish, especially young people, never have to go through. But you can start making those choices and start trying to set yourself on a path. And that is something that you really highlight in this story, that what you choose in life is going to put you on a path and put you on a direction, and that you do have some control over that. Maybe not everything, but you can take what comes at you, and you can decide what you're going to do with it and how you're going to react and how you're going to handle it. And that makes big changes in the way that the rest of your life is going to go.
I did try to bring in that human element. There are obviously old people in the story and very young people, but the youth, that transitional stage, is something very personal to me. I know I struggled for a long time. I was in my 40s, even though I had been a machinist for more than 20 years. I was in my 40s before I realized I still hadn't really decided who I wanted to be. And because of that indecision, just make a choice and go. There are things that I could have done with my life that never happened, and things that did happen that I look back on with no regret. But if I had been forced down different avenues, I'm quite sure I would have made significantly different decisions, but I wasn't. So I responded to life as best I could. And carrying that kind of indecision and yet the need to make a decision is such a common story for everyone, no matter the age, that I was hopefully going to connect not only the reader, but the three primary characters, bring them together in a way that made sense for them to be together. It's an interesting relationship the three of them have. It's not what you would think or imagine. The direction it was going could have gone a lot of ways. Cherish in particular has a very unique outcome in the story, but it served her. And I wanted to stay with each persona throughout the story, that the person, the core person, didn't change, but their relationship with the world did.
I like that. Yeah, I think that is something that, as a writer, can be hard to do, to not make, you know, drastic shifts with your characters that don't necessarily make sense, that really throws the reader off when it's like, wait, are we dealing with the same person here? Sometimes that can be a hard thing to resist doing when you really want to take a character in a certain path and maybe it's not working with the story and you try to force it. And the reader can usually pick up on that and say, well, how come this character had such a drastic shift in life? Because as a human person, we recognize people really don't tend to do that. Like, maybe a few exceptions where someone has a wildly, you know, impactful event that maybe changes a huge part of who they are, what they're doing. But for the most part, we are who we are at our core, and we're going to respond in ways that make sense with who we are. There's a completely wild change in that, it doesn't strike people as true, and it doesn't strike readers as true either.
It's what made it difficult for that last third of the book, which was just a series of short stories, creating each story with its own set of characters, people that fit into the world that they were in, but also had personalities that were suddenly interacting with these new personas, the old characters that are now new, and in some fascinating structures. One story involved cancer, and that came to me simply because I've had family members and good friends die from cancer. And that really pushed me in putting that short story together. When I was a child, I loved collecting butterflies. My neighbor was actually an entomologist for the County of Orange. So I got to see thousands of insect collections that nobody else really would have had an opportunity to see. And it really piqued my interest. So for a while, I dabbled in collecting bugs. And so there's a story involving that aspect. And all these things are actually little mirrors or images of part of my life. And yet it was to create characters, to create personas, to carry those forward in little short stories and have them all tie together and make sense was a challenge, but it was fun.
Oh, good. Well, and it's kind of funny because I was just with my students yesterday. We were talking about text structure and why an author chooses a particular text structure and how it helps the reader better understand what their point is. And I thought your book was an interesting example of that because, like you said, two-thirds of it is the same story with the three main characters. So we have an extended descriptive story with these three different narrators. And then the last section of the book are these short stories with largely new characters. And then we have, you know, one or two of the three original characters who pop in and out and we see how they're impacting the future. And it was interesting to see that because you don't see that very often. It's a different type of structure overall, yeah. But you're using known structures within the smaller pieces as well. And it was interesting thinking about that, preparing for the interview, because you do have a lot of intention in your structures that you choose to go with the longer story for two-thirds and then these individual short pieces that show the long-term outcome of the original story. So I wanted to ask you about how you chose to do that, what the overall concept was as far as bringing those together in that way. Because you could have rearranged it differently. You could have done some different things with that, but that was an intentional choice to go with that.
It was, and it's due to something that's just standard in the industry and bothers me every time. And that's its intention. But we get to the end of a story and we want to know what's going to happen next. And I just hate that feeling of not knowing, okay, everything resolved and everybody's happy and it's all come together, but that, you know, this happily ever after thing, what on earth is that? And we never get to see or understand or feel that unless, of course, they do a sequel. And it's still usually the same main characters and just moving forward through something else. I wanted to take this and move it forward, but not be the same characters and show how they touched almost like a rock skidding across the top of the water, touching here and there in life and in people's perspective of the world, and give a sense of hope that there is someone, there is something out there that knows what's happening and mm-hmm. sees. And there is an end to the story. Maybe this kind of lent itself to the idea that as long as we're here, there's going to be a story behind the story. And I wanted to give a few little pictures of that. I just hate the happy ending and not knowing what's going on after the happy ending.
Yeah, I mean, it rarely, even when you have, you know, the happy ending and things wrap up, that's never really the end of the story.
It isn't.
For the writer, for the reader, I think, as the writer, I think it's always an interesting feeling to end a book and then still think about your characters and what happens after and what the rest of their lives look like, you know, even though those are imaginary. You can't help but think about it. And I readers do that as well. Yeah. Even with some of my books that are series, and I'll still have readers be like, but what else, you know, what else have you, are you going to write another one later? Because you do always have that feeling of like, what happens next? Like, you get so invested in the characters that you want to keep seeing where their lives are going and what they do and how things turn out. Unfortunately, we can't really write, you know, those same characters from birth to death. Most of the time, I suppose there are some who do that. But it's an interesting challenge, I think, for writers and readers to figure out where to stop.
Well, that's it. And I've done other writings where I've written a couple of pilots since then for other stories in completely different genres. But this one I didn't want to have. I literally wanted to cut myself off from the ability to create a sequel. It was a standalone intended to be a complete story. And I can't imagine how I would possibly write a second following story to this book. I could probably write something parallel to it, but there's no reason to. It's in and of itself was intended to be a one-off. And I tried to incorporate and roll everything into it at that time when I was writing it that came to mind, that came to heart, that was part of my experience, the experience of others that I knew, and take life itself and roll it into a book, which is almost impossible. But I took pieces, and I felt very, very complete when I finished the book, which I was happy with, because I sure wasn't complete when I finished the primary characters, that first two-thirds. Mm. That was a stage setting, the longest stage setting in the history of writing, but it was still a stage setting. The after stories, those to me were from the heart.
And I think that that is something you mentioned earlier, kind of the industry standard, where sometimes you feel a little boxed in, like this is where you need to end it. This is how you end a story. This is the structure that's expected. And you broke from that, which I'm always a fan of people trying new things within established ideas of how something should be. I think that can lead to really interesting things. And it gives the reader a chance to explore new styles and new structures as well. And as a reader, like, it caught me off guard a little bit because it was unexpected. Then it was like, oh, like, this is really nice to see these characters interacting, moving forward, and having some sense of the rest of the story. Like you said, like, you still don't get this, you know, kind of definitive end, because as the reader, you're kind of left with the impression, like, this continues, I'll continue to have an impact. But you do get that wider sense of the story, which was a really neat experience as the reader.
To me, it felt like picking up a stone was the first two-thirds, and then skipping it across the water, like I said. It's just touching in the future, different lives in different ways. And that was the intent this time. I don't know what I'm going to do in further stories. I had started one that I did a pilot story on. It's called Opposite Ion, which is opposition with a dash in the middle. And the reason for the dash with Ion is it's about a young girl, a savant, coming up, graduating high school. Her field of intellectual study is not just science, but specifically energy. And her goal in life, at least at this point in time, speaking of making goals and deciding who you are, is gravity itself. We all know what gravity does, but we still have yet to actually understand what gravity is. But she wants to know how to make it, how to control it, how to define it. She gets approached by a university because of her work that she's already published, and they're interested in her continuing her studies at their facility. Their facility is an interesting issue in and of itself, and they're not as above board and honest and forthright as you might want university to be. The university is only a tiny part of that organization. She ends up making a friend of her individualized teacher, professor, and gets involved with scientists from around the world. While she doesn't get to where she wants to get with discovering the root of gravity, she makes some leaps and bounds in technology. I wanted to avoid Star Trek oh so badly, and Star Wars and all of that. So it's a completely different kind of application of the energy that she has discovered and is working on with another female scientist. There's a little bit of the LGBTQ community type stuff in there. I wanted to feel comfortable with writing it. Doesn't bother me at all. And yet I know it needed to be something interesting for the world to look at and read as well. I don't always write to hit what I like. I'm one person, and I would like anybody that picks up this material and reads it not only to be interested in the science, but also in the characters behind it. Mm-hmm. So this is my attempt at Asimov. Yeah. And I completed the pilot, so I edited it the 450 times that all of us do. And I'm done looking at it, done touching it, published it, and I'm hoping to see that move forward. But now I've got the newest challenge of taking these stories and turning them into script so that they can be presented possibly for turning into a movie or something along that lines. And I'm taking on such a huge chunk for never having been a writer. I didn't do it my whole life. I have no formal education for writing. I had to buy a Grammarly program to teach me that I don't know English properly. So
most of us don't learn those rules real well going through school. I am definitely seeing that with my students. Well,
and things changed from when I was in high school. You know, we're talking 50 years ago, and now things have changed significantly. So trying to make everything come together, writing things the way the industry expects, and yet also carrying the heart of my story without corrupting it to a point just to match the language requirements. They're all challenges, but to me, it's worth doing. I've loved the reading, and now I'm loving the writing.
I was going to ask you, for someone who came to writing a little bit later in life, and you've kind of dived into a little bit of everything. I know you've done some poetry, looking at children's books, you diving into script writing, you've done long form writing, short form writing. You've really just kind of
splashed.
Attempted to tackle all of it.
I splashed.
So how did you get started, and how do you recommend, you know, someone else who's maybe wanting to try writing, hasn't done it their whole life, but wants to give it a shot?
It's about passion. For me, I had a passion for reading. The stories took me to places and showed me things that other people could imagine with their minds, that my mind was still fresh and new and young, and I didn't have that kind of vivid imagination. So if you've got an imagination, write it down. Start with the ideas. I'd like to write a story about mermaids. I'd like to write a story about butterflies. I'd like to write a story about something. And then start just putting it together piece at a time. And pretty soon you realize you've got an outline for a book or a story. The children's poems for me was based on my love of Winnie the Pooh. I loved Winnie the Pooh growing up, but there was always only that first one. And then they came out with new Winnie the Poohs. And I was like, hold on, I can do that too. If I write one poem, which I did, as you know, the little otter that was afraid of the water, that's just a start. The otter can make other friends, can go to the ocean and see his otter cousins down there, the sea otters, and have all kinds of experiences. And so just this one little poem all of a sudden has turned into something that can take so many turns and become so many stories. And it's just a poem. But I wanted it to be something that a mother would feel comfortable reading to her four-year-old as the, you know, she's putting her, the kid to bed, and want them to calm down and have some fun dreams and help establish some of the things we do. This was an otter overcoming fear of the water. And so these little things that we grow as children are so important to them. And we as parents, I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, we can help provide these tools to our children through these stories. So they're not just fantasy. Whatever grabs your heart and says, I need to be a part of this. Instead of watching the world go by, grab a pencil, grab a pen, a keyboard, a typewriter, and participate. For me, that was it. I just had to kick myself in the tail and say, participate. And all of a sudden, I couldn't stop.
Well, I'm glad you did. And I hope other people who are interested take that leap as well and just get going. You find resources and community along the way, and there's always help and support out there, but getting going sometimes is the hardest step, but I hope people take it.
It's fun.
It is, and you get to meet a lot of fun people along the way, too.
way. It got me back in school. I'm back in college. Here I am, 63, back in college. That's just crazy.
You never stop learning. Well, we are out of time. I wanted to thank you, Phil, for coming, and just remind our readers, the book is called River Guide by Phil Schatzman, and more on the way. I know you always have lots of projects, which will be exciting to see how that goes. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today and chat with me about your writing.
Well, and thank you for inviting me. This was absolutely exciting.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.